Valentine's Day is just 5 days away, and this year the National Retail Federation expects that 35% of Americans will buy flowers for Valentine's Day, spending about $2 billion. But where do those flowers come from? We're joined by Amy Stewart, author of the books Flower Confidential and Wicked Plants, among others. Amy, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you.
So where do most of the flowers that we buy in the grocery store, or if we buy them online and have them sent to someone for Valentine's Day, where do they come from?
Well, they're mostly coming from Latin America. About 80% of the flowers we buy in the United States come from somewhere else. And it's almost all Colombia and Ecuador, with a little bit of a growing percentage coming from Mexico as well.
We know that flowers are very perishable. How are they kept fresh when they're shipped from thousands of miles away?
Well, you know, that was the thing that was so surprising to me. I had always thought of flowers as needing to be in water 24 hours a day or they die. But it turns out that transporting flowers is a lot like transporting a head of lettuce. You know, it needs to be kept cold. Temperature's a much bigger deal than keeping them in water. And shippers can even do some things to sort of regulate the oxygen CO2 mix and to regulate the humidity to keep them fresh. And you know, flowers these days are bred for longevity, so they might spend a week getting from the farm to the flower shop before you even take them home. And then they want them to have a week of life in the vase after you've brought them home.
You say they're bred for longevity, you mean they're genetically modified?
In some cases, but more often it's old-fashioned flower breeding, but selecting varieties for a longer vase life.
And when you talk about the process of shipping them, I mean, we're talking about big air-conditioned warehouses in some cases, or air-conditioned trucks in order to keep these flowers in good condition when they do get delivered. What's the carbon footprint like?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. The refrigeration issue is the biggest one that the flower industry is dealing with in terms of carbon footprint. You're starting to see more truck stops where people can plug in at night so they're not running a generator while the trucker sleeps or takes a break. It's a big issue.
Why can't we grow more of these flowers in the United States? I mean, obviously, in the middle of February, a lot of the country is too cold for that sort of thing, but we've got California, we've got Florida. What about those places?
Yeah, well, all over the world, we've seen flower production move to the equator, in part because the year-round climate makes it less risky to grow a crop like flowers. Labor costs are cheaper, environmental regulations may be fewer. And in the 1980s, the Reagan administration lifted import tariffs on cut flowers, in part to try to push industries in Colombia outside of the drug trade, right? So the thought was maybe they'll grow flowers instead of cocaine. So the legacy of that is that floral production moved south of the border, and we've seen less of it here. But, you know, even for a holiday like Valentine's Day, I think kind of the new push for American-grown flowers is maybe we can change our aesthetics a little bit. Maybe we don't need roses in February. maybe we could do tulips or something that's a little bit more seasonal instead.
Well, you mentioned the laborers. How are people treated that work in this industry?
Ecuador and Colombia, all these Latin American countries, they actually have pretty good labor standards and environmental standards on the books. It's a question of enforcing them. So, of course, it's hard work working on a flower farm, and the risks are that you'll get exposed to chemicals. So the thing that the workers told me, though, was please don't go back to the United States and tell people not to buy Latin American flowers. These are actually pretty decent jobs. The flower industry's gotten more scrutiny over the last 10 years over labor practices, and there are all these eco labels that include better labor standards. But I imagine that you would still hear workers in Latin America saying, we don't want these jobs to go away.
Right.
What else are we going to do?
So if somebody is listening to this and they want to go out and buy the most sustainable, good flowers that they can get, what would you suggest?
You can absolutely find American-grown flowers, even in February. And you can get organic or sustainably grown flowers from around the world. There's an eco-label here in the United States called Veriflora that certifies farms anywhere in the world that sell into the United States. And they care not only about what's sprayed on the roses, but how the workers are treated, and even community development, water conservation, a lot of things people may not think of right off the bat when they think about flowers. But the demand has to come from consumers. I mean, so when I was writing Flower Confidential, I was asking florists, do people ever ask you for organic flowers? Do they ever ask where the flowers come from? And generally they said, no, it just doesn't come up. But things have really changed, and it comes from the customers, and then it comes from the florists, and then they have to push back at their suppliers, and eventually that pressure makes it to the growers, and they change.
That's Amy Stewart, who's the author of the books Flower Confidential and Wicked Plants, among others, talking with us about sustainability and the flower industry. Amy, thank you.
Oh, thank you.